Welcome back, Scotch Gamers, for another exciting week of gaming news and cool Australian antics. It is Sunday, the 10th of February, 2013, and this is episode 16. Back with us today, we have our usual gang of hosts, Sideswipe. How's it going today, my friends?
What have you been up to? I'm finally back. I worked today, that was pretty ordinary, and just got back from a week away, so it was pretty good.
Yeah, what did you do on your week away?
Visited family, saw you.
Lies.
Don't really like you that much, but I saw you.
Oh, shit.
Nah, it was good times.
Ah, awesome. We have Nick, serious face, Abdullah. What are you doing? Why are you so serious?
Why am I so serious? I'm apparently frozen at the moment, but I'll hopefully get my cam fixed real soon. I didn't work today, which was fucking awesome.
What did you do instead?
Jealous.
What did I do? I've worked on my game all week, people. I bought games, but instead of playing them, I just worked on my own game. I'm obsessed. Hopefully, it'll be done very soon so I can get back to playing some... Oh, I don't want to say real game, because that'll be pretty mean to me. But anyway, yep, hopefully I'll be back to normal soon.
And with us for his second week, the outstanding, the amazing Jesse Fowler.
Hey guys, how you going? Yeah, instead of working, I actually had to fucking pay to go to work today and do my first aid course again, so that was awesome. Not really, but, yeah.
Paying to work. Best ever.
I had to pay to go to work. It was fucked.
You know, it's always a bad day when you're paying to do your own job.
Well, it's got to be done, mate. To get all that scotch in your background, it's got to be done.
It's a good time.
Alright, and me, I've been working again. Playing WoW, trying to kill the last boss in Heart of Fear. Super hard, super healing intensive, super fun. But that's about it. Let's go straight into our news for the week. What do you reckon, guys?
Sounds good to me.
Sounds good.
Alright. First piece off the gate. The Last of Us, the new game that's coming out eventually for PlayStation. Apparently it's getting a web series. I saw a short trailer for it. Looks okay, I guess. What are your thoughts on all these games coming out? It's like we had a Halo, it's got a web series. Now this is getting web series. What do you guys reckon?
Well,
I think it's good.
I think awesome. Yeah, yeah, happening a lot. Actually, a really good web series at the moment, guys, too, to check out is Injustice. Well, not a web series, sorry, comic series.
I saw that.
Yeah, check that out. It's amazing. And it's written by like super talented Tom Taylor, who I actually know, and he's a great guy and a great, great series.
I don't...
But yeah, Last of Us getting a web series, that's awesome, man. It seems to be happening a lot more. Really good for these really story-driven games, which I think Last of Us looks like it's going to be pretty story-driven. Yeah, I'm really excited about that. What do you think, Shan?
It sounds amazing! I really liked Forward Unto Dawn, the Halo web series. That was absolutely amazing. Yeah, they did bring it out as a DVD in the end, and they also packaged it with a limited edition of the game, but previous to that, it was a web series, and I swear to God, like, absolutely incredible. Visuals, storyline, everything was great. I think that web series work really well because they usually are funded and controlled by the developer, which usually tends to mean that they've got the same writers or they have all the same vision. When it turns into a movie, you know, you've got different people trying to do different things. You've got a director that doesn't really play games or know the games all that well. I just think that web series are a really good way to go. They get everyone excited for the game as well. Obviously, it's extra marketing for them, but yeah, I didn't even actually know that they were doing a web series, so I'm going to watch it because I can't wait for this game. So
I don't think it's out quite yet, but I think it's coming out soon.
Well, there you go.
When you mention Injustice, though, Nick, the one thing I've seen of Injustice is Superman punching the Joker through the chest.
Yeah,
like, that's the
that
one thing I've seen. What the hell? Yeah. What the fuck? Like, it's one, like, how often you can count how many times Superman has killed someone, like, in canon, sort of, in, like, one hand. And yet, for just some random game that's coming out in place, and they're like, let's make Superman into a fucking mass murderer guy that, like, becomes
mate,
a dictator.
If you read the three comics prior, it's awesome why he does it. Like, what the Joker does to him is just messed up. Like, I don't want to spoil it.
He convicts Lois that Lois Lane is Doomsday or something, doesn't he? Something like that. I'll fucking spoil it. I'll spoil it to fucking Kingdom Come.
Okay, well, yeah, spoiler. Basically she's pregnant. The Joker decides he's going to play around with Superman because he's tired of losing to Batman all the time. So he gets some of Scarecrow's fear toxin and some kryptonite, mixes them together, and totally just fucks Superman, and he just, like, yeah, basically ends up killing Lois and his unborn child. So you just imagine, like, then this game's going to be nuts.
Then doesn't he become, like, a dictator of some sort after that?
Essentially, yeah. It looks like the game, he's actually a dictator, so... they're actually fighting against him, but wouldn't he just take over after something like that? You know what I mean? He's just decided, fuck it, I can make the world however I want. It's going to be an amazing game.
Another thing is, web series are becoming really crazy right now. Like, even there's one about Skyrim, like, coming out. These people were like, we'll make one, but you guys have to pay for it, pretty much. I think it's called, like, Skyrim the Shadow Cult or something.
Yeah, I saw that.
And the trailer looks pretty cool, but, like, they're shooting 5 20-minute episodes if they get the funding for it. But the thing is, it's not, like, endorsed by Bethesda at all, so I don't know how that's going to go.
Yeah, web series is sick.
Yeah, is my video working, guys, just out of curiosity?
Yeah, you seem to be fine for me.
Pretty good. A little bit out of sync, but whatever. Don't care. I can see your beautiful face now, Nick, so that's all that matters. Yeah, no, and, like, I don't know if you guys watched the VGHS, the Free W from YouTube did it. Video Game High School. They're onto season 2. They're onto a second season of a web series. It costs like $600,000 to make or something.
But he makes enough money off advertising, so it doesn't really matter.
He's Kickstarted it. Just reached their Kickstarter. So I'm pretty stoked about this. Alright, on to our next thing though. Nick, we know you've been making a game, so we know, like, you like playing around with games and making stuff. ID releases their Rage Toolkit this week. But what they said is you pretty much need to be a genius to use it. So you need to be, like, super smart and, like, really know how to deal with code. And basically, it will require an insane amount of time to actually make anything good. Because basically, at their studios, to make something, they have a 300-core render farm. So if you're using, say, like, a 6-core something, at home, and it takes them, like, ages to make something... If it takes them ages with 300, imagine you with, like, 6.
Can I just say, back in the day, I used to be, like, all over the Doom 2 engine when that was open and people were making mods for that left, right, and center. So not that long ago, 6 months, maybe a year, when they actually released the Doom 3 engine. Do you remember that, Shannon?
Yep.
How long ago was that?
Probably over a year ago now, actually.
It was about a year ago. I think Shannon was the one that put me onto it. And I got all excited, and I thought, yeah, you know what? Oh, this is awesome. I'm going to make a game. So I went, and I downloaded all this stuff, and I could not make heads or tails of... I mean, that was too complicated for me to work out what the hell was going on. I could just imagine what the Rage Engine's going to be. Like, I'm not even going to bother, because I will not be able to wrap my head around it, I'm telling you right now.
Well, I'm pretty sure you actually need to be a programmer and actually know programming language to understand
exactly. it. Exactly, so I'm not going to bother with that. That's, that's awesome for the people who know what they're doing, I guess.
Yeah, and they would probably, like, make a better game than that they've made recently, like Rage, the actual Rage game by the people. Like, that was an awful game, like...
I didn't mind it.
Oh, dude, that game sucks so bad.
The graphics were amazing. It was a little bit too old school.
Oh, dude, like, I remember buying it, installing it on my computer, and, like, taking a step outside, and the sky was, like, falling and stuff. It was just so glitchy, it wasn't funny. It was ridiculous.
It really was terrible on PC. It was really bad.
Look, I played it on console, and I didn't have any problem. I remember it being, like, super impressed with the graphics and stuff compared to consoles. I mean, obviously PC is way above console level, but it was pretty good looking on console. It was a little bit too old school by today's standards in the first person shooter market. I mean, ID like invented, you know, the first person shooter, but it's come a long way since games like Halo and
if they had, like, they even had, like, Bethesda, like, publish it, like, and even, like, Bethesda said themselves, like, this game is terrible, and, like, yeah, we're not even going to work on it anymore. I don't think they're ever going to touch that series ever again, for good reason, though, so...
Well, they're doing Doom 4, though, aren't they? So, yeah.
Doom's cool, though. I like Doom.
Yeah,
that's
Doom,
one thing they
Doom
got right. So.
That needs to be redone, so that's
yeah,
that
definitely.
Amazing.
But
with
yeah,
Bethesda on board, so you can go wrong.
But yeah, like, I just can't understand, like, it's going to take... Well, obviously, no one's going to do something to the extent that the, like, ID does when they use this thing, so we won't really need 300 core render farm. But to do even, like, the smallest thing, it seems like you're going to need for ages to render the shit. I mean, holy crap.
There's a lot of people out there that are willing to put the time and effort in. I mean, if I had more spare time, I would love to sit there and try it, but, you know, I just don't think I could. You know, I don't have the time, but what little gain I'd probably end up getting out of it, honestly, wouldn't be worth it.
Alright. Speaking of, like, game designers and stuff like that, who here wants to be one? Because ABC, the cool, amazing Australian broadcasting channel, whatever they're called,
TV
station for Australia, cool guys, they have lots of stuff on there. They're looking for a game designer. What for? Nobody knows. Speculation.
Bananas in pajamas, MMO.
Dude, finally. I would fucking pay $1 million to play a Rugrats MMO.
Oh, fuck yeah. Sick game. That game was... I mean, didn't I make like a few games of that on Nintendo 64? And they were like awesome. Like,
yeah, I
think
love
so.
Them. They were good. Dude, I had the PS1 one.
Rugrats was the bomb.
Yeah,
still is, man.
I still remember my favourite TV show of that episode of that show. Was like when they met, like they became grown up for the day or something like that. It was fucking hilarious.
They actually did a series called All Grown Up, that was the Rugrats. I don't think it was half as popular as
Rugrats. Yeah, it was nowhere near as good.
I've seen my kids like watching this stuff and I'm like, oh, no way, they're actually grown up now.
Are they adults or what?
No, they're teenagers.
How boring, I don't give a shit about them.
Oh, actually, I think they're teenagers, primary school sort of age.
They
so
should
Angelica
do one.
Angelica's a teenager.
Yeah, she's a teenager, yeah. But like, yeah.
They should do on Rugrats, a fucking old series when they're just like, like 40, and they're just sitting around talking shit.
Can't even say the word. Geriatric.
Yeah, and it's like, I remember when I was a kid, I liked a dinosaur. It was fucking cool.
Reptar.
Reptar was the best friend ever. Now I don't have any hips. Anything else?
I just hope that like blonde headed chick died because I hated her a lot. So
yeah.
Oh,
she's a bitch, man.
But anyway, is there any word on back to topic? ABC, like any word on the actual games? Is it just advertising positions right now? So there's no names. Of
well,
games that they want to work
on. They're just advertising for a game designer. But obviously,
I reckon they're going to just basically make some little iPad type games for the local ABC kids shows, I reckon.
Yeah, probably.
That's what it's going to be.
I mean, gaming in Australia, being a game programmer in Australia is pretty rough unless you are doing something like that. Like, look at the big successes come out of Australia, like Fruit Ninja and Jetpack Joyride. Like, they're all these sort of, you know, little iPad type games now.
That's what the money is, like, for kids, like, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Where the money really is, full stop.
Yeah,
well, you reckon all the money's with the kids these days?
No, I mean with, like, iPhones and iPads and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I don't think kids have money. Unless it's split up their parents.
As a parent, I can tell you they're pretty good at getting the money out of you. They're the ones that bloody,
you'll be,
you know.
You'll be tough, Nick. Just,
hey?
Tell them no. Go like, oh, you want a dollar? Go mow my lawn.
I'd like to see a five-year-old trying to mow my
lawn.
You're
only 4 years old? Fucking harden up. And these make up stories about how it was tougher in the old days when you'd be like, when I was 5 years old, I climbed a mountain to fetch my milk.
Barefoot.
Yeah.
In snow.
Barefoot in snow, wearing nothing but a loincloth. You don't know what it was like when I was a kid. I swear I'd do that. If I was a parent, I'd just make up the most ridiculous stories about shit that I did when I was younger. Be fucking hilarious, and they believe
your childhood
as well.
Was awesome, though, wasn't it?
I remember when they invented colour. It was awesome.
I remember back in the days when we had the Dragon Overlords. Oh, they were rough. We had to fucking take. I remember one time we took out a 60-foot dragon with my bare hands. I did it for my initiation as a man. Now, Now that's why I get to drink scotch.
That's it. It's like, and if your kid grows to be 18, you never give him scotch until he slays his dragons or something.
Yeah. Which, like, oh, which he literally has to take from a beer.
Yeah.
You're never allowed to play games until you kill all the dragons.
Yeah. If you have a girl as a child, you're like, look, you can't have sex with any guy that hasn't killed a dragon for you. Not allowed. I'm sorry. Anyway. New game for ABC. Dragon Slayers. Strange version. Could be done.
That'd be.
We've decided for them.
Do you guys play Dead Space 3 when it came out, I think? No?
Not yet.
Well, no. Apparently it's a lot more action focused than previous versions. And the creators of the game were saying that it was a necessary evil. So I'm just wondering, what do you guys think about games going more action focused? We had it with Mass Effect. Mass Effect 1 was pretty heavily RPG'd. Max Effect 2, I think, sort of hit the balance, like, superbly of between the RPG and the action. And then I thought they went a little bit too mainstream in, like, the third one. I don't know, what do you think about these games going more action to reach a broader audience?
I think this touches on what we were talking about last week with the, or was it the week before, about the way gaming seems to just hold hands these days and walk people through every step of the game. I think it's a classic case of dumbing it down for a broader audience, but you lose something when you do that. Lose what made it special in the first place. I hate that this is happening. I don't want to play a game that's just constant action. It's just walking me through one action sequence after another, giving me no freedom to explore or to solve a problem or any of that stuff. I personally hate it. That's probably all I've got to say on that.
Yeah, I agree. I know that it's been happening heaps. Like, the most recent example, and I think the one that let down everybody the most, was Resident Evil 6.
Yeah.
It was just like, from what I heard, I never played it because, like, I knew what it was going to be like before the game even came out, from what I'd seen. But, you know, it was basically, that removed all the horror elements, which, that's what Resident Evil was. Like, it's got in the name, Resident Evil. Like, you're in a house, you got to, like, fend off all the zombies, but the later ones just seem like they've just turned into third-person shooters with some horror elements. Like, it doesn't seem like the same game anymore. And I know that Capcom caught a lot of flack of that, and they've admitted that they were wrong, and they're going to plan on reinventing the series, but it's a shame that Dead Space did it, because Dead Space, I think, was the only horror game around, apart from these sort of, like, more indie titles like Amnesia, but for a mainstream horror game, like, Dead Space was the only series around that was sort of doing it right. Like, the first two games were fucking frightening, man.
I think it backfires as well, man. Like, I think you go too far into the action and people will just be like, no, this is not the game that we fell in love with anymore.
It's not a horror game anymore. It's just an action game with, like, scary monsters in it. Like, you can play... Like, look at Doom. Like, Doom was always a scary game. Like, yeah, it was, like, the graphics were crude, but, you know, you had these grotesque monsters and you didn't have very many bullets and you walk around these crowded corridors. For the third one, they didn't change anything. It was just in 3D and it was fucking frightening as. But, Jesse.
I think that, like, for different people, things are more scary. I think for, like, a younger person, like, heaps and heaps of monsters would be scary. But for people like us, like, growing up around that, like, for me, in a scary game, it's like eerie music, and you actually don't see the monsters for a long time. And then, like, randomly, you'll turn around and they'll fucking be there eating your face, you know what I mean? And that's what frightens me in a game.
It'll frighten everyone in a game.
Yeah. I think Jesse hit the nail on the head. Sometimes it's the absence of the monsters too. Like, if they're just throwing, like, action sequences at you constantly, you become, like, really desensitized to it. But walking through, like, an area where there's nothing happening for a long time and it's just silent and you just kind of get lulled into this false sense of security, and next thing you know, one of those freaking things jumps out of a vent. Like, that's the stuff that freaks you out. You know what I mean?
And the sounds and stuff.
Pacing. It's pacing as well as action, you know? I mean, yeah, you got to have these areas where there's, like, heaps of enemies and you've just got to fight your way to survive. But if that's all you give, I mean, you get desensitized and it just doesn't have an effect.
I agree. Like,
I think you're absolutely right.
They're just trying to, like, make... It's like what we were talking about last time with, like, Resident Evil 6. Like, they're making it more action just to cater for the 13-year-olds on Xbox Live. Like, let's be honest here.
Yeah. Like, hearing all this, it makes me not even want to pick up Dead Space 3 now.
I'm not.
Look, I hadn't heard any of this yet. I didn't know what to expect. And I was kind of like, would I get a chance, I'm going to pick it up. But, I mean, hearing that it's going on more action, I don't think I'll even bother, honestly.
Well, considering that, and I'll just add this in here because we don't have this as a topic, but considering that Aliens just broke Streets 8 in Australia, I reckon people are going to jump on that because that looks like a traditional horror game. Like, we've seen some of the shorts for that. Me and Nick have actually seen it in action months ago, and it looks frightening. Like, it looks really scary. They haven't, you know, it's Aliens, it's supposed to be scary, but they could have easily gone with the more action-orientated. They could have just had you as, like, some super soldier just blasting through aliens, but they kept that horror element, like... Yeah, I reckon people are just going to go for it now that it's launched early.
I still remember the scariest
game. I got some hands-on.
Sorry.
Yeah. I actually got some hands-on with that too later on, and it was those moments where you know the aliens are coming, thanks to the sensor that made it so like spot-on perfect. when you knew they were coming, it wasn't so much fighting them. I mean, when you're fighting them, you're not thinking; you're just reacting. But the moments where you can hear that beep. And it's coming closer and closer and closer, and it just gets you like, gets you pumped.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, I can't deal with that shit.
I love it.
That's like the scariest game I still remember playing was back. I don't know. It was I think back on Xbox. You had a camera or something, and you're going through this like haunted house or something, and you could like take pictures of shit. But
Project
barely,
Hero.
Yeah, you barely ever saw anything bad. But like, I remember this the scariest thing I've ever done in any game. Well, there was a room, a nice fucking bottle, Shannon. A room, and it's like fucking water on like everywhere. It was like a swamp room or something. And I was fucking walking across a plank of wood, and you could just like tell there's shit under the water. And like, but you could hear it, but like nothing ever came out. It was the fucking scariest thing I've ever fucking done in my life.
Yeah, scariest game for me was Amnesia. Like, I played it when it first come out thinking, yeah, it's not gonna be that scary. And like, I was terrified. Like I couldn't finish it. It was that bad for me. Oh.
So I think that's the problem with sequels, man. Like, sequels force you to go for more action. Like, instead of just doing one game, doing it well, and moving on, maybe.
It's so weird that they... It's not even like... Sorry, Kurt, to cut you off there, but it's not even like... It's not even like something that seems to happen here and there. Like, it's happening with all these classic horror franchises. Like, another one, Silent Hill. You know, it's nothing what it used to be. And Silent Hill 1, 2, and 3 were all about the atmosphere. It was about not being able to see in front of you because of the fog. It was using the radio, and whenever a monster was near, you could hear a static noise. Like, all these things that brought it in. You could ever see monsters, and when you did, you would fucking run. You'd hate yourself.
Yeah.
And, yeah, with the newer ones, they've gone that same sort of route. Like, it's more sort of like running around, shooting guys. You get, like, all these crazy weapons. Like... We don't want that. We want to be forced to use a knife like in Resident Evil 1.
I think, like
it's all about dollars.
Yeah, not true. Like that, like, they've made, like... Back in the when I used to play, like, horror games, like, sometimes you wouldn't be able to kill a monster without having, like, a certain weapon. It would be, like, fucking hard to find a weapon.
Yeah.
And, like, now you can fucking... You could just slap, like, one of the aliens in one of these games and they just fucking die. Like, it's not a challenge anymore.
Yeah.
Like, get away from the alien. Fucking slap you off.
Pretty much.
Yeah. But, like, they just... I think what I was saying before is because of the... When you get a game that people like, they feel forced to make a sequel. And then when they make sequel, they're like, well, we want to reach more people than the original. What can we do to get more people into it? We'll already have the people that love the first game. Maybe we can broaden it a little bit and get other people in. And then maybe, like, it works a little bit. They do it a little bit for the second game. And so it's still pretty good. And then they're like, oh, how do we get even more people for the third game? So as you keep on going along, like, second, third, fourth game, you'll just get more and more broadened until it's just a generic action game.
No, and you know what the problem is? The results actually... To them, it would actually look good, because... Number one, you get all these people who were, like, super pumped about the original game buying it, because they're buying it on nostalgia value. Number two, you're getting that casual gamer in. So in their eyes... It's working for them. Do you know what I mean? They're getting that bigger audience. They're getting those bigger sales. Henceforth, they make the next sequel even more broader. And it's it's a never-ending, horrible cycle of misrepresentation.
I've got two interesting points. It's funny because Nick's exactly right. And in the end, it doesn't come down to people buying it in the stores. Because if they get the pre-orders... and they have the buzz surrounding beforehand, whatever the companies buy, whether it be JB Hi-Fi or Best Buy in the US, whatever they buy, that's counted as sales. They don't care if it gets sold from the shelf from then on.
Yeah.
And if the buzz is there to begin with, of course they're going to order heaps. though, it's a really interesting fact, but it's true. Like, all that they need is the buzz. And the other thing that I can that I want to say is, it just another reason and another way that Call of Duty has ruined the world.
Call of Duty.
It's so true. That game, God, it sells a lot, but it fucks everyone's day. Yeah.
I'm wearing this shirt. I really have no idea.
Played Black Ops 2 yet. Like, I just don't care about it. Like, I just it's on my shelf and it just pisses me off because it's there. Like, I fucking hate its presence.
You bought it.
I know. And the thing is, like, dude, they can release a fucking game called like Call of Duty Bricks, and I'll still fucking buy it. And you know, Shannon would too.
And we bag it out every year. We sit here and we bag it out, and we're still there in that fucking line, picking up that stupid game.
Hey, come on, guys. I don't buy them. I'm like the fucking one, but I bag him and don't buy him. Fucking shit games.
You're an alien. You're not human.
But, so I think we pretty much said all we could talk about fucking action stupid games that are ruining our lives and the industry one game at a time. But, alright, so we'll go on to another awesome game. I probably should have talked about this earlier when we were talking about web series. But Farmville, game we all know and love. Love this game, Farmville.
Oh,
best game ever.
Cannot wait. Fuck off, you serious?
getting its own animated series.
Yes, finally!
I can't wait, man. Like, I was fucking like there to buy it on Blu-ray, like limited edition.
It was fun.
I'm gonna rent out entire cinemas just to like make sure nobody else can see it.
You know what's funny?
Good reason.
This is gonna be a huge commercial success. This animated series.
Yeah, I know.
Well, of course it is. And like,
you know how many kids are
gonna
watch it?
How many 40-year-old women are gonna watch it?
Nick, your kids are not allowed to watch this.
Take
them to watch Saw before you take them to watch this.
No, I think I'm going to boycott this in my household. I hope they never hear about it, because I'm not going to mention it to them at all.
All right. Seriously now, what do you guys think about this series? What do you guys reckon about some weird little farm?
The funny thing is they could make any storyline surrounding a farm at all, because in the end, there isn't a storyline to Farmville, you make it yourself. So they can just do whatever they want.
Maybe it's going to be like a film of a person playing Farmville. It's not about the game at all.
At least Angry Birds is known and loved by pretty much everyone, and it's an actual good game, and it has a storyline to begin with. Like, they're planning on the movie and stuff like that. Like, yeah, Angry Birds does have a storyline. But
that
like,
makes
at
me
least
want to cry, too.
At least it has
basic storyline, I guess.
Well, yeah, the pig stole the eggs, but... Well,
yeah, how do you make that hour and a half, Shannon? Why
the pig steal the bird? No, it's going to go into, like, a deep fucking story about the pigs were actually, like, war refugees that really needed some sustenance and were starved to death, so they stole the birds were actually, like, the mafia, and they stole the bird. They stole some food off the mafia, and that's the whole story. Fucking done. There's your live-action movie. Take it to the fucking bank. Angry Birds.
You did well, Kurt. I don't have anything to say about this topic, really.
Neither do I.
It's
like,
fucking stupid.
I
just want to pretend this is not happening.
All right. Going back to some more serious stuff now, though. We'll talk about action games before. The creator of Heavy Rain was talking about how he feels the gaming industry really needs to grow up. Not 100% sure what it means on that, but like, I agree with him in some sort of way. I think that I remember talking ages ago how I thought games should cover a wider range of topics. I mean, you don't see any rom-com games, or you don't see like there's all these other things that like TV series and like movies do that we sort of, I think we could cover those topics as well in games. And Heavy Rain was sort of one of the games that sort of did that a little bit.
You know what I like about that? Like we all come out and say shit like that. You know, we all throw out these comments, this is shit, that's good, that's, you know, this needs to happen. But like, he's someone who has the experience and the proof behind him that makes it worth listening to him. Like, he made Heavy Rain. That game's all about story. Like, it is an amazing... I mean, I guess you could say it has action sequences in it. I mean, it's completely story-driven. And he's right. I mean, God, I'd play anything. Is he still with Quantum Dream, by the way?
Yeah.
He is. They've got what the
Beyond Two Souls coming.
Beyond Two Souls coming, which I can't wait for.
That looks cool, actually.
Yeah, I mean, I love that. They are such a group that, you know, really understands its story. It's, at the end of the day, the most important thing in gaming. You know what? I could almost excuse bad controls if a story was really good.
I
could
always excuse bad controls.
I'm going to say
story
is the most important thing to me.
Well, look at the success of Walking Dead. That had, like, no real controls in the game. You pointed at something.
90s style. Like, that was awesome. The story was there.
Story's
like, I'd play anything if a story is amazing, regardless of what kind of game. I don't care if it's an RPG, a first-person shooter, RTS, MMO. If it's got story, that is the most important thing to me.
You know what the thing is, though, and I think that his statement is really just pointing to the... It's, once again, it's a Call of Duty statement. You know, we're talking... from experience of, like, playing games growing up, like, yeah, Nick's the oldest one, me and Kurt are the same age, and then Jesse, and we all grew up playing games that, because they were limited by graphics and the way that they could actually design games, it was all about story. Like, we had to play through games where we didn't have voiceovers, like, it was all in text, we had to read, like, we came from an entirely different background. Now that, like, all gamers nowadays are spoon-fed, and I'm not just talking about difficulty, I mean about everything that you see can be seen and heard, and, you know, it looks amazing, but games can get away with not having a story just because they look great. Like, look at Crysis. Like, Crysis 1 didn't really have a story. It was just...
terrible.
It was just a visual fest. Like, that's all it really was.
Yeah, just
to
show off the engine.
But
like
people,
advertisement,
but game companies can get away with that. Like, and I think that's what his statement is saying. Basically, we can't be in a place... like, nothing will ever get forward. No one will ever succeed if we keep on having games that are just run-and-gun shooters or they have no meaning. Like... if without these type of guys that are investing their time and money, we wouldn't have games like Heavy Rain, The Last of Us. Like, look how good that game looks as well. Mm. You know, I just think that it's a really great point that he makes, because it's true.
You know what I'm going to say? I agree with everything Shannon's just said, like absolutely everything, except with the part that they're not going to succeed if they keep doing that. I have a feeling that the gaming industry... continues proving over and over and over again that the people who are releasing the action-oriented bullshit are the ones that seem to be succeeding, while people who are out there making genuinely, like, interesting games and really deep games and immersive experiences, almost bordering on art, you know what I mean? I mean, Heavy Rain, to me, is almost an art form. Like, it's, you know, it almost transcends being a game. Call of Duty, that will never be an art. That's just generic crap.
At one point.
But I have a feeling that all these genuine artists are going to continue getting slapped down, getting poor results, because the Call of Duties of the world are always going to be sucking in the dollars.
Sorry, that's the point that I'm trying to make. I think I might have said it wrong, but that's exactly what I mean.
Yeah, well, another thing
I think success-wise, I feel bad for the people who are genuinely...
I think I'm telling stories. I think I must have said it wrong. Yeah, I don't think that they are getting the credit that they deserve or the sales that they deserve, and it's a shame.
Yeah, well, I think that, like, it's also, like, I think the gaming industry is always going to succeed, but succeed in a way that they're going to get money, and we're just going to be, like, numbed out by stupid and shit games. Like, you see so many, like, indie developers, like, people from huge companies help them make it, and it, like, really good games. But then you got, like, the ones, like, pieces of shit, like, just like shovelware, you know what I mean? It's always the same thing.
And shovelware.
They're gonna just keep on making the games, and we're just still gonna keep on buying it because that's what we've always done. And they're gonna take advantage of that, I think.
Like, the only way that changes is if people start like voting with their wallets. Like, I think the guy actually mentioned it in his interview, or the speech that he gave, is the only way that we can change the system is by not buying these games that are just, like, horrible. I just don't think... there's so many people in the world that just like that sort of shit. Yeah. For some reason.
It reminds me of a quote, and I can't remember which game designer actually said it, but it went something like this. Being a story writer for a video game is like being a world-class chef and working at McDonald's.
Because
it's an amazing writer... and you're writing for a game and nobody appreciates it. I mean, basically, I think that's the point he was trying to get across. Where's the encouragement to have awesome writers come over and write video games? All they keep getting is nothing but crap and slapped down by bad sales and told that they're, you know, the game's shit when they're really not. They're amazing games. Getting the numbers.
Well, there's like even games like from other countries, that, like Eastern European games, like Singularity, like that was a really good game, and even Nick liked that game, and and had a really good story, and it just didn't have the money to be advertised, and people like it failed miserably, and like it's terrible. Like,
I think a really good point, not a really good point, but a good turn of events was it was obviously very apparent in Sleeping Dogs. Like, that was a game that, because Activision didn't see, you know, the consumer backing behind it, they didn't think it was going to sell. They just palmed it off, and it ended up being a fucking fantastic game, super well written. The characters were amazing. Everything about that game was great, and it's still one of my favorite games I've ever played. And they just get shoved aside. They were lucky they got picked up by Square Enix, and I'm so happy that they did. But they could have just been one of those other games that just gets canned. And it's funny because you hear about all these games that get canned because publishers don't see that there's anything in them. But just imagine, like, how many of those games are actually just fucking good, and they don't see the light of day because a publisher doesn't see money in them. Like,
exactly right.
All comes down to the money.
Yeah, you know what the future of gaming is this. You're going to have super giant monsters like Activision, who are just so big and have so much backing that whatever they release is going to be sold no matter what. And then you're going to have the small indies who don't need the money to live. They have another source of income, but they just love games, therefore they make them and sell them. And there's going to be no middle ground. You've got people like, you know, THQ, who were in that middle ground. And all those middle ground people just keep dropping by the wayside or swallowed up by these giant corporations.
That's a good point. That's almost... Yeah. It could almost be, like, parallel to a third world country. Like, you've got the super poor, and then you've got the super rich, and there's no in between. You cannot be middle class.
The rich are going to get richer, the poorer.
That's
poorer.
That's a really good quote.
This is way deeper than
I ever thought this show could get.
It's the beer,
let
mate.
Me just say, I'm just like, my mind is
superpowers, mate.
For the next ad, challenge for all you guys as hosts: don't buy the next Call of Duty game comes out. Don't buy it.
Can do that.
Vote in the wallets.
Can I just say?
Don't buy it. Don't buy it. Stand with your faithful friend Krazak and don't buy it.
Can we rent it?
Nah, you're not allowed to do any of it. Don't. And for my four not buying it, the game will be kaput. No.
You know who we need to stop buying it? The big companies. Because as long as the shopping centres buy it, it doesn't matter whether we buy it off them or not.
That's
right. So what we actually need to do is terrorise Call of Duty by destroying shipments.
Oh God!
But we've essentially become a terrorist group.
Scotch Gaming. Scotch Gaming. New interest.
I was a joke. Hey,
until the fucking Marines come kicking through your fucking door.
Any minute now, banging down the door. You said the word terrorist.
Yeah, dude. I can pick that up from fucking the White House, man. They know they're on their way. We're fucked.
Hi, President Obama.
Alright, so on sort of like the flip side of this conversation is the next conversation. Warren Spector also gave... just after the next...
Oh, segment. Sorry. My internet went.
Yeah, did you cut out, did you?
I did, yeah.
Alright, that's fine. Alright, on the other side is Warren Spector. Did a talk as well. I think the same place as the last guy, but he's sort of like the other side.
By the way, the place is called DICE.
Sorry, yes, DICE Summit.
Just so everyone knows.
He was saying that he hates, like, the violent video games and how he says that Lollipop Chainsaw shouldn't have been made. Now, before we were talking about how we think games need to grow up, but I do also think there's a place for these ultra-violent games, like Lollipop Chainsaw. They're very quirky. You can sort of compare it to the movies industry. You have these big games, and you have like someone like Quentin Tarantino will do these grindhouse sort of movies where they're like ultra violent, and like I think just because doesn't appreciate them doesn't mean that they shouldn't be available.
It's really weird because like Warren Spector is the granddaddy of Deus Ex. He created Deus Ex. The game wasn't super violent. The latest one was a bit more violent, but you know, it's a sci-fi mature age game, and you do things like take down people and, you know, assassinate and stuff like that. But I really respect him as a game developer because I love Deus Ex. But I don't agree with this statement whatsoever.
I think it's
a silly statement. I never played Lollipop Chainsaw, so I can't really comment on the game. I know exactly what it's about, and I know that it's, you know, super sexualized, and you know, there's, like, stupid violence, and it's... But I think that it's all in context within the game. That's what the game is supposed to be. It's not like it's not like it's adding... It's not like you buy the game, and you don't know that you're going to have that. You know exactly what it's about. You can choose whether or not to buy it, and you know that it's supposed to be tongue-in-cheek humor. Like, it... From what Nick's told me, because I know that Nick loves the game, it's just a funny action game. So
of course,
Nick would love
that game.
I don't really agree with the statement.
Yeah, look, agreeing with Shannon, with all due respect to Mr. Spectre, I would rather play Lollipop Chainsaw than Epic Mickey any freaking day of the week.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, like, I knew what I was getting into when I bought Lollipop Chainsaw. Anyone who... You know what I mean? It's a very disrespectful statement. I think using Lollipop Chainsaw as the example, because Suda51 has been releasing that kind of game for a long time, and he's a very well-respected person in the gaming community
as well.
Oh, he's
incredible.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, Suda51, we know what you're going to get when you buy a Suda51 game. You're going to get over-the-top, action, sexualized characters. I mean, yeah.
It's traditional Japanese, that's the thing.
Yeah. I think it was a poor choice of example. I kind of know what he's getting at.
Yeah.
But,
he could have said... He could have said a game like Mad World on the Wii or something, like, you know what I mean?
Not even that, like, he shouldn't have even named a name, because that is, it's quite demoralizing for the developers, because they actually ended up making a good game, regardless of what his personal thoughts are. He should have said something probably along the lines of, you know, I think that games that are deemed sexualized or, you know, too much violence are not the way that we should be going. He shouldn't actually point out a game.
Can I just say, we're just as guilty of that, because we've been, like, bagging out Call of Duty this entire show.
Yeah, we're banging out
Call of Duty
is
still going to make money.
Aspect of Call of Duty, though.
One thing, though, Nick.
Not as a game.
I would say that I don't like Call of Duty, I won't buy Call of Duty, but I will respect Call of Duty's right to exist.
Like, Call of Duty has a place, I just wish it wouldn't take so much attention away from other good games.
Yeah.
Call of Duty
but
has
I would never
place.
Say Call of Duty shouldn't be made. I would never say that. I think any game that gets made has a right to be made, but doesn't even have to buy the game.
Agreed.
Like, every year, like, we say that it's gonna dumb down in popularity or something like along those lines, and it's just ridiculous. Like, I don't know. Like, with a company that big, like, they just have the amount of money that they can just advertise. Like, I was buying cans of V and it had, like, Call of Duty on it. Like, it's ridiculous. these other games, like, they can't even scrape that, you know what I mean? Like, that's why, like...
Yeah. But back to Warren Spector, you know, he is a granddaddy of the industry. Have nothing but respect for the guy. I'm not going to bag him out and call him any names for saying it. I just don't agree with the statement.
Yeah.
That's all.
On a side note, his studio, I think his studio just got closed.
Yeah, it did.
So,
he's probably a bit grumpy.
Yeah,
he's probably just cranky, yeah. He needs a nap. He's getting on.
Well, I'm bringing up the next topic because it wasn't on the topic list, so I'm springing this one on you guys.
Oh, shit.
But everyone will be excited about it, and we all know about it, of course. Witcher 3 was announced in the last week, and it was through the reveal of the Game Informer cover. What we know about the game so far is it's definitely a next-gen title. It's not coming out on current-gen systems, which is really cool. It is going to be obviously on PC as well, which we already know what to expect from PC. It'll look amazing.
Hey.
I'll just run through a couple of the details, just in case nobody knows. But basically, from what we've been told, it's going to be about 20% larger. It's an open world game, by the way, so fully open world, similar to Skyrim. In fact, the developers said that it'll be around 20% larger in size, which is pretty incredible.
Didn't I say 20% larger than Skyrim?
Like, yeah. Yeah. 20% larger than Skyrim. There is going to be no load times at all. So if you guys have played Skyrim where you jump into a dungeon, there is a slight load screen. Or a long load screen if you're on PS3. it's going to be entirely streamed. So there's going to be no load screens when you go into dungeons, when you
How
go into areas.
Loading before you get there.
I've got the new engine, the Red Engine 3. which is basically their new engine following on from Witcher 2. And over the week, there's been leaked images from the Game Informer magazine from the digital version, and I have to say, these screen captures look absolutely amazing. This game looks friggin' incredible. Like, it's definitely to the point now where games are on that cusp of reaching a, like, the movie quality within games. Like, whenever they do a pre-rendered scene, this looks like that. And if they can pull it off, and if these consoles are as powerful as they can be to run this game, we're in for a fucking amazing time with gaming.
Well,
yeah. What do you guys think?
Crytek's always been one to, I don't know what the name is. They've always been one to push the graphic fidelity in their games. Like, Witcher 2 needed a beast machine to play that in high graphics. Yeah, I think if there's a company to do it, they're to do it, I think. And Witcher 3, I don't know how they're going to make such a huge open world game with no load times and insane graphics. Because, I mean, that's the one thing you have to realize when, say, you play a Skyrim game, you know the graphics aren't going to be quite what you really want them to be.
Yeah,
but like if they have that insane graphics plus I don't see how they're gonna do it.
I don't know. I'm not that impressed. The Game Guy RPG doesn't have any load screens at all. So like this really doesn't. Nah, I'm super excited. Like seriously, Witcher 3 is gonna be nuts. I mean, I love Witcher 2. That game is so amazing, and no load screens. I think you know what? Bugger graphics. Bugger this whole. Oh, graphics need to be better and be, you know, more realistic. I think load screens are probably the biggest thing that ruins immersion in a game.
Or consoles, maybe. It's not our problem.
Like, yeah. Oh, come on. Tell me PC doesn't have some load screens. Like,
not really.
Get an SSD, bro.
But it's not as bad. Like, just
I mean, I don't care. Any load screen pulls you out of the immersive experience. If you can go no load screens, you just walk up to a freaking door, walk into a building, or you walk into a dungeon, and nothing stops. That's going to be the greatest step towards true immersion that I can think of.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I mean, sort of... Well, World of Warcraft doesn't have that many load screens unless you're going into a dungeon. But, you know, let's play more World of Warcraft, guys. That's all I got to say.
That doesn't sound like reason at all. Yeah, so that's pretty much. Anyone got anything else?
Yeah, I don't
on
know
Witcher?
If we have anything else to say on Witcher 3, but except
other than
fucking please give it to us,
and we can't wait.
Give it to us now.
I think I'm probably the biggest Witcher fan here. Like, did any of you guys play the first Witcher?
Yes.
No. I
well,
didn't.
Yeah.
I love
well,
Witcher 2.
Fucking me and Jesse, mate, playing the first one. That game. The thing is, like, we talked about all these action games and how they're sort of dumbing it down. I think The Witcher actually improved on like a lot of the mechanics from the first game. Like, The Witcher 1 combat was a bit iffy in the first one. And, like, it's really weird. They actually improved on the first game. And if they can improve on the third one, like it seems they're going to do...
As a resident console player here, I was, like, blown away by Witcher 2. I mean, the first time I got to play it was on 360. So, I mean, I'd never come across, you know, such in-depth, you know, role-playing and really having to, like, you know, have all these menus and deal with that stuff. Like, that's something that I was lacking in the console market. So, yeah, I mean, that blew me away. Let's just hope it doesn't become another fatality of the whole action-oriented bullshit that we've been dealing with.
Or, like, something that is...
I seriously doubt it will be, though.
I think they're going the exact opposite, though.
Too streamlined. Yeah.
I think it looks like they're going the exact opposite direction. Like, what's opposite than, like, more action and more stuff? Open world, massive sort of Skyrim-ish game.
Yeah.
That's the exact opposite.
And the cool thing that they said was they don't want to lose the story, which one thing about like the Elder Scrolls games, between playing the main story, you get lost like within the story. I'm not meaning within the game. Within the story, you get lost. The story really isn't that riveting. Some of the side stories are actually better than the main story. From what
all the side stories are better.
Yeah, they from what the guys... From what the CD Projekt guys are saying, like, this is going to be an open-world, story-driven game with as good story as you'll find in any linear game in an open world. So, and they even said the same thing for Cyberpunk. So, and the cool thing is we know these guys can do it. Like, they seem to be so devoted to games, and it's cool to see that...
These guys? The BioWare of the future? Maybe.
Do you know what? I think that, like, The Witcher 2 was, like... From what I played, almost better than most Bioware stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I think it is better than most Bioware stuff. I'm going to go that one step further, honestly.
Incredible games.
I think it's amazing. And I love Bioware, don't get me wrong. Like, they're amazing. But these guys, like, I know they're going to deliver. It's not just a, you know... I mean, like, I love Bioware, but they've delivered a few, you know. Dragon Age 2? Like, that wasn't, you know... That wasn't up there. They released it. These guys... They don't release games as often, but when they do, it's just nuts.
Yeah, I like the fact that they do actually spend their time on one. It might be 5 years between drinks, but they fucking give you the strongest drink you've ever had.
they give you 10 shots of Spiritus every single time.
It's like we were saying, it's that whole smaller company mentality. Like, more love goes into the smaller company than the bigger company. The bigger company just has deadlines, and at the end of the day, you just got to release that piece of crap on time. But I mean, these guys, you know, they don't release shit till it's finished. That's what we want. What are you laughing about?
I just poked Jesse. Because Kurt said about Spiritus, like, they give you 10 shots of Spiritus, and that is Polish vodka.
Yeah.
Like, and they are a Polish developer. It was just a little... Jesse got it.
Yeah. And what I respect about, CD Projekt, they're the ones who still make it, correct? Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, they suffered so much financially, like, from pirating of The Witcher 2, and they're, like, they still, like, they're not, like, angry about it. They're like, yeah, we'll just change that, and we're just going to spend most of our time on that and spend all our resources on The Witcher 3. Like, that's devotion, man. Like, companies don't do that anymore.
I don't know if it actually hurt them as much as people are saying, the pirating. It got pirated a fuck ton, but they also made a fuck ton of money off that game.
Yeah. You know what it is, too? It's the company that is actually making the game because they fucking love it, not for the dollars.
Yeah,
you know
exactly
what I mean?
Right.
When they're making it because they're just passionate. When a company is passionate about a game and they're not working on it just because they want to make a ton of money, that is where we get good games
from. Oh, yeah, I'd be passionate about games if I was living in fucking Poland too. So nothing else I'd be passionate about. So
that's why I'm that's like the one reason I'm looking forward to Game Guy so much. Fucking see this guy. Fucking make it all the time. Not gonna see
I hope
sense.
It's good.
Good. So are you guys looking forward to God of War Ascension?
No. I've never played any of those games at all. Like,
well, I'm not gonna be able to play it because I'm from Queensland.
Oh yeah, have fun with that.
God of War.
Just because you can't. So
yeah, God of War was classified R18. So Queensland sort of fucked up their R18 rating, so we can't sell it because technically we're not allowed to. So all the stores got told to take down their signage in Queensland. They're not allowed to advertise it. Nothing. So we're fucked. But it really matter because if I wonder, I just fucking be like, look, I'll just buy it for fucking Melbourne or something. It'd be fucking easy shit.
We'll send it to you.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, on my non-existent PS3.
If you want it,
that'll be fun. So what do you guys think of this?
I knew there was always going to be a little bit of a catch with the R18. I've been saying it since they were finally about to bring it in, like a year ago almost. The silly thing is there's just all these clauses from state to state that change it. It should be a unified thing, but of course, because of the way the Australian government works, it can't be. It has to be approved by state, that's with anything.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's a shame, because like, the funny thing is every other God of War has come into Australia at MA15+. I don't think this one's going to be any more as violent. You know, if anything, it might be less, with Kratos now being mortal instead of immortal because it's a prequel. So he's probably not going to be as strong or nearly as brutal as what he can be when he can't die. So it's a shame. Hopefully they get it sorted out. I just hope that we don't. And I know that's going to happen, but I'm going to say it anyway, that we don't fall into this trap of, like, everything that we once knew as being MA15 becomes R18. But I can see it happening. You know,
yeah, I don't really bother. I'm over 18.
Yeah, I know. It's cool for us, but, like, you know, the last game was MA15+. Like, kids at high school could buy it and play it, and now they're not going to be able to play it. So it's
you know
a shame.
What?
Yeah.
Getting onto that topic of R18, I mean, yeah, it's all well and good that we're over 18 and we can all play it, but this is going to do nothing but hurt the gaming industry in Australia. I mean, you know, suddenly all those sales. I mean, God, I feel like I'm beating a dead horse here. But again, like, so let's say, for instance, that the next Call of Duty is R18. I mean, those juggernauts are what make
Those kids will beg their parents to come in and buy it for them, and those parents will fucking give in.
Yeah, but how many won't? Like, the numbers won't be anywhere near what they used to be. I mean, this could potentially hurt gaming in Australia quite a lot. And I really worry about the future of gaming in this country. Like, time will tell.
We'll see. Alright, so BioWare. They don't want us to call their next sci-fi game that they're setting in the Mass Effect universe. They don't want us to call it Mass Effect 4 because basically it will feature... They said it won't feature Shepard, most likely won't feature anything to do with the Mass Effect games, have nothing at all to do with them. It will just be set in that sci-fi universe. Do you guys think this is a good move for them, just like completely letting go of everything? Like, who knows if it'll even have like the same places? Could be set in a completely different part of the universe.
I'm gonna start it off. All right. I can understand. Well, first off, the reason why you wouldn't call it a Mass Effect game if it doesn't have the Mass Effect Relays being a point. For those who haven't played the game, Mass Effect Relays are a big sort of like warp drive thing that can send you around the universe. Now, if they aren't an integral part of the game, I can understand why. However, by the sounds of this, I fear that it's going to end up being a shooter, not an RPG.
Probably.
Which is not very good, because they already made some pretty, some people some pretty bad decisions with Mass Effect 3. I'm not going to comment on that, because we've talked about that 1,000 times. But, yeah, I kind of seeing this kind of being like EA's next, you know, massive franchise that they can milk for what it's worth. Let's hope that they don't. Let's hope that BioWare, even after losing some of their big guys, sort of stick to their guns and try to improve the RPG franchise that it is. But I definitely do see it moving in the direction of more shooter, perhaps even first-person shooter, who knows.
You're ruining everything, Shannon. I don't want that.
No, of course, I don't want that to fucking happen either, because Mass Effect 2 is there in my top 5 game of time. Like, that game was incredible, but I don't know. I'm kind of losing all my hope with BioWare, apart from Dragon Age 3. Hopefully that one pulls them back.
Yeah.
I'd say, I like it. I like the steering away from the Mass Effect thing. I think it's really, really ballsy, honestly, because the easiest thing in the world would be to call it Mass Effect 4, cash in on the name, have all those people buy that game, and call it a day. I mean, I think the fact that they're actually willing to take a risk and go, you know what, we're not going to cash in on the name. Shepard's story's over. We want to make a game in the universe, but we want it to have its own identity. I think props.
Well, BioWare
props,
is...
Props to BioWare. You're taking BioWare, a chance. I hope it pays off.
BioWare does do pretty well when creating new IPs. Like, realistically, I think, like, every time they've made, like, the first game of a new IP, it's always been pretty fucking amazing. Like, Dragon Age 1 was sick. KOTOR, when they just did, like, the whole new part of that, that was sick. Mass Effect 1, amazing. Like, when they get down onto their sequels and ending shit out, can get a bit weird, but I have faith in, like, their ability to create something new. They've always been good at that, I think, as a company.
Yeah. Well, I suppose if they do, like Nick said, I get that point entirely. If they are trying to reinvent the series and they're not trying to get payment just from the name, they're wanting to sort of do their own thing. They are basically a new team with new, well, not a new team, but a team with new leads, so obviously they're trying to start afresh and maybe in some ways reboot the franchise in their own sort of way within a different part of the galaxy, because obviously the Shepard story is finished. So I appreciate if that's the way that they are trying to go, and I think that's a great idea. But I just don't see it. I don't know. Maybe I'm just being a bit stubborn and an unbeliever, but...
Alright, and for our last topic of the day, Ubisoft says their next Assassin's Creed game will come in the fiscal year 2014. Holy shit,
yes.
are we already talking about a new Assassin's Creed?
I already know what
it apparently,
my guess.
It will feature a new time period and a new protagonist. They also mentioned they weren't super happy with the last game. They recognized that a lot of problems we had with it were true. They didn't like the ending, like chasing. They didn't like a lot of the looping cinematics and stuff like that, conversations. Yeah, so, Jesse?
Like, I'm gonna be honest here, like, I didn't actually like, no matter how much I played, I couldn't get into it. Like, for them, like, with Assassin's Creed, like, Brotherhood, like, I finished those games from one, like, the original one to Brotherhood 100%, all of them. And, number three, I kind of just got, like, lost. It was not lost, it's just I couldn't get stuck into it. But, so, like, and I think a lot of people have that problem. But I really think that, like, they'll go back before then also. Like, I think they made a comic book about, like, a Russian family member back then, too, like, who's related to, or another person, Animus. So we'll have to see. Like, I hope they go back into, like, the Renaissance or something. Who knows? Like,
imagine going into, like, say, like, enough with this. Imagine going to, like, America, like, the Japanese sort of lands, going, like, more Oriental, maybe go back to World War II, something like that. I reckon that'd be amazing, going back to, like, World War II or something.
Yeah, or even, like I've always said this, you can ask Shannon, like, I think, like, imagine doing the Cold War. How cool would that be? Like, being, like, because, you know, like the Templars, they kind of, like, have agents. Like, imagine having agents, like, in America and Russia and all that type of stuff, and Europe. That'd be really cool. Like, they should, like, try something new. Like, it'd be interesting.
You know, it's really funny, because... Oh, sorry, Kurt.
You know what the craziest mindfuck, though, is if you went back, into someone's memory or something, but it was so recent that guy that is going back sort of is still alive. I don't know if that could work, but I think that'd be crazy.
Yeah, like, who knows? I'm sure they have good ideas.
I'm from the perception. Oh, that's the wrong word. I've never really liked the Assassin's Creed games too much, so I don't know. Like, I've always found them a bit too repetitive. I've never really got too, like, sucked into the story. Maybe I didn't give them enough time, but I did play the first two games quite a lot. Like, I finished the first game, and I was happy with it. Like, I thought it was cooler because it's very different to what we'd already seen before. It was an open world parkour style game back when parkour was massive, like everyone was doing it on YouTube. And the second game came out and I played over halfway through that game, but I don't know, the Assassin's Creed franchise is just too much of the same. They tried a lot, I know, to reinvent it in a way in the third one.
Yeah.
It fell into a lot of the same holes. Like, people still found it too repetitive. I think that they really need to, and hopefully they realize that too, they really need to push it forward for the next one. They need to make it stand out again. Like, at least when the first two games came out, especially the first one, it was, like, super different. They made some mistakes, they fixed it up and really improved it in the second one, but they need to do that again, but they need to do it better, they need to do more. Like, I can see that happening with their other franchise, Watch Dogs. You know, they're going for that sort of open world style but set in the future. Like, you know, I don't necessarily mean they need to go to the future, but they just need to try something really radical. It needs to be something like entirely open world. Like, I don't want to see, like, you know, stupid little gully sections that you have to run in to get to the next town. It needs to be a massive open world. Like, something where you can go and choose. It needs to be almost RPG-esque, where you can choose who you get quests off next. You need, you know, a quest log. It needs, you know, there needs to be something that makes you feel like you're part of that world instead of just going from one objective to the next and having to do a ton of, like sneaking missions where you have to follow people, like, because I know that those are fucking annoying.
My God.
Well, it's going to be out in 2014, apparently, so...
Well,
like,
this is the year 2014, so...
Yeah. Which actually includes this year.
You know what, guys? Like, you guys have made some good points. I've always been of the opinion that, like, I really enjoy the Assassin's Creed games. I really enjoy, number one, the historical aspect of it, the accuracy. I mean, yeah, obviously they take a little bit of liberty where, you know, where it's concerned and change little bits and pieces, but there's a lot of actual historical accuracy in there and a lot of love and attention. Even the fact that... Yeah, I mean, you know what? When you say open world game, I mean, it's all an illusion. I mean, there's barriers even in an open world game. There's always borders. I mean, even the fact that they could actually take that into account and actually write it into the story and say, oh, yeah, it's glitching out and you can't go to this section, but it's part of the Animus. So, you know what I mean? The fact that it even makes sense to have those borders. I mean, Brotherhood was probably the pinnacle of Assassin's Creed, in my opinion.
Yeah,
that was the best one. I loved it. Yeah, it went a little downhill from there, but Assassin's Creed, to me, is one of those series that has unlimited potential because there are so many interesting time periods. You know what I mean? You can essentially keep making Assassin's Creed games forever, and I think I would always be interested in seeing what they do with each one of these time periods. I think it needs to go in a little bit of an extra, different direction, add some things maybe. But I mean, obviously 2014 means next gen. Like, I'm excited. I mean, I really can't wait to see what they do with it. I can't wait for a new protagonist. Like, let's have a new story. You know what I mean? The Desmond thing's played out. I don't know. I'm going in hopeful that, you know, this is going to be something really cool.
Yeah. I just think that the... All right, Jesse.
No, go ahead.
Say something really quick. I think that what they really need to do, and like I said, I can't really speak other than what I've heard, they just really need to start tying up some loose ends. And some of the bigger loose ends, like, yeah, they tie up some of the smaller loose ends, so you're like, oh, yeah, okay, now I know why that's happened, or whatever. There needs to be some really big closure for some of it, because I know that with the end of 3, lots of people were left like, what the fuck, like, I thought this was supposed to be, you know, you would think that after 6 games, was it 6 or 5? 6? 6?
I think it was 5.
After 5 games, you're going to know some of the big plot points and that they've come to an end. But from what I've heard, there was none of that. It was just like leading on to the next one. And that only works so many times.
Sort of an ending there.
I'll add to that. Assassin's Creed Liberation was like a massive flop. I would think it's pretty fair to say.
Massive flop.
it was very like poorly done. But they did do one thing that I think they could probably take away from that game, and that's, you know what, don't have an overarching storyline. When you popped in Liberations into your PS Vita, it basically made out like you were some user that's tapped into the Animus, and you were tapping into your own genetic memory. There was no main protagonist over the character you were playing in that past time period. You know what, do away with the overstory. I don't need an overstory, I just need a time period and person that I'm playing in that time period. You know what I mean? Essentially, we could be we're tapping into our own genetic memory, and we're playing our own past self, like past person. I think that's more than enough. You know what I mean? I don't need a complicated frickin' Desmond end of the world fucking bullshit, whatever, I'm trying to save everybody storyline. I just want to play a really awesome time period.
Well, that's pretty much all the news topics to talk about. I don't think anyone's been really playing any games to review this week, but I'll just throw it out there. If there's any games you want to talk about quickly before we finish the show off.
I put Ni No Kuni into my PS3, and the opening cinematic was amazing.
And that's all you've done?
I've been too obsessed with my own shit, man. I haven't had time. I will buy Ni No Kuni again, and I will play it.
Buy it again.
Most definitely. But right now, I'm just too busy working on my game that I just haven't wanted to play anything.
I reckon for the next show anyway, plenty of us are going to be playing Aliens over the week, so hopefully we can come back with some good news about that one. Like, I can't wait till Tuesday. Yeah, it's Broken Street Dead in Australia, but I still can't play it on PC till Tuesday when it unlocks on Steam. So, I hopefully we're all going to be playing that, or at least some of us are going to be playing it co-op, because that game's going to be fucking cool, I hope.
I'll be getting it, so.
Well, I just want to say, I think patch 5.2 for World of Warcraft, I feel like it's maybe a month out, month and a bit, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks, I know, somewhere around there. It's looking close, it's looking actually really cool. So if any of you guys out there play World of Warcraft, or even if you did play World of Warcraft and you stopped playing it, like some really bad, you made like a bad decision in your life that made you stop playing, I don't know, you should get back into it, I think, for this next patch.
Shut up, Kurt.
It's looking amazing. Nah. It's looking so good. There's all these like Thunderforge weapons and all these Thunderforge like armor and stuff. Yeah, gives you a reason to come back for every raid. Oh, Kurt. Looking sick. What?
Kurt, you know what? You can fucking keep it, mate.
Yeah. No,
13 person raid. They're bringing out a 13 boss raid. Come on. 13 bosses. Big raid.
That's actually kind of cool.
A big raid, man. Like, ICC. I haven't done like an ICC like big raid for ages. Back since like crap.
It'll be like Ulduar or something.
Yeah, they compared it to Ulduar. They said we're made of raid that's sort of like Ulduar.
Shut up, Kurt.
When they got interviewed, they specifically mentioned we wanted to make an Ulduar-style raid again.
Don't listen, you speakers.
Everyone. After this, I'm going outside for a bit.
Everyone, play World of Warcraft.
Just play it, you'll love it. I love it, you'll love it too.
Like, I love it. Like, admittedly, I love the game. Like, but I just can't make the decision to go back and, like, spend, like 10 hours of your world playing it. Oh. Yeah, pretty much.
I wish Chris was here, so the other week could have convinced you to play.
Nah. You would never.
Alright. So that's pretty much play World of Warcraft. Pretty much all I've got to say. Shoutouts for the week. You guys, we'll go around, do your shoutouts, and then we'll get out of here. Switch, Jesse, you first, mate.
Yeah, nothing really to say, but yeah, happy birthday to my mate Chris. I'll see you in about half an hour, mate, so I know you're watching, so cheers.
Awesome. Nick, go with you.
I'll be off for the next couple of weeks, guys, going to Perth.
Traitor.
So I probably won't get a chance to play a lot of games, but I look forward to coming back, and obviously I'll be watching Scotch Gaming to get my weekly dose of gaming news, and I look forward to coming back when my holiday's over.
All right.
Catch you guys later.
Have a good holiday, mate.
Shannon?
Shout out to my band. Going through some stuff lately, but we're still a band, so check us out at facebook.com/myfavoriteepisode. Some stuff going on there. Also, shout out to me because I'm fucking great. So, yeah.
Alright.
Wild mode.
Awesome. I'm Krazak, obviously. You can check us out on Facebook at www.facebook.com/scotchgamingpodcast. All our podcasts go up there, all our YouTube videos of this stream that I do, all goes up there. You can like us, be super cool, check out all the stuff we want to say to you. If you're listening to the podcast version, you can check out our live streams every Sunday. We do it around 7 o'clock. AST, yep. You can check us out at www.twitch.tv/Krazak. And I'd also like to shout out Shannon. Cool guy. Welcome back.
Thanks, mate.
That's it for the show. We'll leave you with the outro now. Catch you guys later.